There could be little doubt that he was sending his own niece to her death, just as he had sent her brother Anakin to his. But what else could he do? The Jedi attack plan had failed miserably, and the price of that failure was death. His and Jaina's and Corrin's, almost certainly. But if they could take out the shield generator and open a route into the temple for the void jumpers, then at least they would be putting the Sith on the defensive. And they would be giving Ben and Valen and Gisella a chance to make it out of the temple alive. As Jaina unclipped her lightsaber and turned to leave, Luke flooded his presence with feelings of respect and gratitude. He reached out to her in the Force, then said, "Master Solo?" Jaina stopped, but didn't turn. And for a moment, Luke thought he had made a mistake of timing. But after a couple of breaths, he felt her calming and growing stronger in the Force. And she asked,
"Yes, Grandmaster Skywalker?"
"I just wanted you to hear me say it," Luke said. "May the Force be with you." Jaina nodded without turning around.
"Thanks," she said. "That means a lot right now."
"Glad you feel ready, Master Solo,"
Corrin added.
"The Order needs you like it never has before."
Jaina was quiet for a moment. Luke could tell by the sorrow in her Force aura that she was thinking of her loved ones. Her parents, Han and Leia. Her lost brothers, Anakin and Jason. Her niece, Alana. And most of all, Jagged Fell. The man she was probably not going to live to marry. Luke almost told her to wait, that he and Corrin could do this alone. But that was not who Jaina Solo was. She was a warrior, and broken or not, she would have cut off her own arm before she allowed him and Corrin to attack the Sith without her. A moment later, Jaina nodded to Corrin and said,
"You're just saying that because I'm going first."
Without awaiting a reply, she rose into a crouch and took off down the main duct at a sprint, her footfalls booming off the metal like thunder. Corrin limped after her, moving surprisingly quick for a man with a damaged knee. A few breaths later, the enemy gunner's heavy blaster opened fire, filling the run with a screeching storm of light and heat. It went silent again almost instantly as Jaina raised her broken arm and gestured, using the Force to shove the weapon and its tripod back into the main exhaust port behind it. The Sith leapt free. For just an instant, the blaster and its tripod hung suspended in the shaft, caught between gravity and the fierce updrafts created by the huge turbocharged circulation jets that drew air through the temple's ventilation system. Finally, gravity won, and the weapon plummeted out of sight. By then, Jaina was at the first stack head, leaping the 2-meter pit where it opened into the floor. The Sith unleashed a combined volley of Force lightning and blaster fire. The range was still nearly 100 meters, so the pistol bolts ricocheted off the duct's metal lining and lost all their energy long before reaching Jaina. But both Force lightning attacks found their target, just as she was in midair over the stack head. Jaina caught the first fork on her lightsaber blade. The second seemed to hit her square in the chest. Luke saw her shoulders rock back, then her momentum vanished, and she started to drop. Corrin was in the air half a step behind her, somehow keeping pace despite his swollen knee. He reached down and caught a handful of rope. They both crashed onto the floor just centimeters beyond the stack head, then went tumbling along the duct until they rolled free of the Force lightning. At the far end of the duct, the Sith started forward toward the second stack head to stop Jaina and Corrin from leaping across. Unfortunately, Luke couldn't afford to watch what happened next. The time had come for him to leave Corrin and Jaina to their objectives and tend to his own. He turned to find Corellia's troop a little more than 100 meters away, with two more stack heads between him and them. They were charging down the main duct, three abreast, their crackling lightsabers creating a moving bubble of crimson light. Corellia herself was not visible, though somewhere in the second or third rank, Luke could feel a menacing presence that could only be her.